Hey friends, thanks so much for clicking on this video and watching one of our Catch Fire London services. We really love giving out all of this content and resourcing the churches. If you would like to sow into our ministry and give online or give through one of our websites or our app, then we really would love to encourage you to do that. There's information on this video for how you can do that, and we would gladly receive your support. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, I'm going to be preaching this evening on a lovely uplifting message. I was saying this morning, this definitely isn't a conference message. This is a local church message. This is not the kind of message you would go and preach at a conference, because I'm speaking this evening on the no of God. So why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say a nice, healthy no. No, come on, with gusto, like you really mean it. Just give it to them properly, like no. When I was the church Abby and I used to go to, it was an Anglican church, and we used to share the peace. For those of you who haven't grown up in an Anglican tradition, the peace is a wonderful thing to be able to do. You take some time and you go around and you shake everyone's hand, obviously, because we're being frightfully British. And, you know, some people would hug, and I was going around kind of shaking people's hands, and I turned and there was this lovely, sweet old lady. And I must have read it completely wrong, because as she turned, she kind of opened her arms like she was going for the hug. You know, she was kind of signaling. I read the body language to be like we were going to do the hug. So instead of shaking, I kind of went for the hug as well. Clearly, I'd misread it, because at the top of her voice, and it made everyone stop and look, she just went, no, like that, and just kind of, I kind of froze in midair and just looked like this weird kind of creeper who was trying to go around church hugging old ladies. So, the strong no, the powerful no. And what I want to talk about this evening, it's I've been saying this a lot recently when I've been preaching, this is a message of context and tension. You know, all truth is held in tension, and we can absolutely preach the grace and the mercy of God, but unless we understand the justice of God, we don't understand it. Those two truths are held in tension. We need to hold those two in tension. And so this is by no means, as I'm preaching today on the no of God, this is by no means saying we're talking about the no of God at the expense of the yes of God. We absolutely believe in the yes of God, and I'm going to touch on some of that as well. But this is a message to for us to be able to hold in tension the truth that God is absolutely saying yes to stuff, but there's going to be some stuff he's saying no to. So I'm hoping to kind of expound that. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to 1 Chronicles 17. Rustle of pages. So nice when we bring physical Bibles to church, you get that rustle sound. And the context of this, I'm going to read a chunk. I'm going to look at kind of three different concepts as I work around this idea. And the context for this is King David and his desire, his heart's desire to be the one that would build the temple. So the context is that the nation of Israel has had this season of wandering. They haven't had a place to build a physical temple. And so we need to understand that God saying no to David in this context is in the context of building the temple genuinely being his heart's desire. And here we talk a lot about destiny. We do a lot. We talk about destiny, and it's I preached a message a while back about needing to understand that yes, we have a temporal destiny. Each and every one of us has a temporal destiny. That means a destiny to fulfill on this earth. But sometimes I think we're in danger and we're guilty of focusing so much on the temporal destiny and not thinking at all about the eternal destiny. I remember watching a talk by a guy called Francis Chan once, and he had this really long length of rope, and it kind of stretched for, you know, hundreds of feet across this auditorium, and he stretched it right out. And he said this whole piece of rope is like eternity, and then it had this tiny little bit of red tape just on the end of the rope, tiny, tiny little bit. And he said, this represents your time on earth. And he said, why do we spend so much of our attention focusing on this tiny little, you know, scripture says it's like a blink of an eye. We're just like a blade of grass or a wildflower, you know, we just pop up and down. And we spend so much time focusing on this tiny little element where actually there's a whole eternity, there's a whole cosmic plan, there's a whole eternal destiny. And yes, you may have a temporal destiny on this earth. Each and every one of you, I believe, has a plan and a purpose. I believe God had a dream and wrapped you around it, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. But there's a bigger picture, and your eternal destiny is to be the bride of Christ. And so we never want to focus on the temporal destiny at the expense of the eternal destiny. And so we talk about destiny, but essentially where we get our word destiny from is the same root as the word destination. And what is your destination ultimately? Your destination ultimately is to be with Christ and to spend all eternity, like Kate was saying, all eternity to be known as you're fully known, to know him, to see him, to be like him, to worship him. And so I want us to have that tension where we say, yes, we want to think about our temporal destiny, but also we always want to be mindful. We always want to understand what we're doing in the wider context of our eternal destiny, which is to be the bride of Christ. And so we've got this context of David wanting to build the temple. So I'm just going to read from 1 Chronicles 17. After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar while the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you." But that night, the word of God came to Nathan saying, we need to understand that sometimes when the prophet is speaking, it doesn't mean God is speaking. Sometimes the prophets get it wrong. Sometimes, but scripture teaches really clearly that we all prophesy in part. And so we have to, even in that, we have to take, often we get an idea of our destiny from kind of prophetic words and that kind of thing. We need to understand that just because the prophet is speaking doesn't necessarily mean they're on point. Because Nathan says, whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you. What David had in mind was to build the temple for the Lord. However, the word of the Lord came to Nathan that evening saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in." And that's a hammer blow for David. This is his heart's desire. This is his dream, is to build this temple for the Lord. And the Lord says, "You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their leaders, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone, and I've cut off all of your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also subdue all your enemies. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me." Now, often there's stuff going on in the Old Testament by way of context that God is speaking and it's talking, he's talking literally and he's talking prophetically. And here we see a prophetic picture. It's going to be Solomon that's going to build the house, David's literal son, but it's also a prophetic picture of Jesus who will build the house of God forever. Jesus is one of the lineage of David. "He is the one who will build a house for me and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever." Now, this is, I mean, sometimes, you've heard of the poo sandwich, haven't you? When you've got to give bad news to someone, you give a nice thing and then you kind of drop the bombshell in the middle and then you say a nice thing at the end. And it kind of seems like God's got it the wrong way around, because he kind of drops the bombshell and then kind of says some nice stuff in the middle and then drops another bombshell at the end. Two hammer blows here. One, David, you're not going to be the one to build the temple. But second hammer blow, I'm going to give it to your son. That's crazy. And just imagining being like that. Yeah, I would... I have to be honest, and I was saying this morning, like, I would love to say that if I had a dream for my life and God said, "Do you know what? It's not going to be you that's going to do it. And by the way, it's going to be one of your daughters, Jess or Grace." Like, I'd love to say that I would be like, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Amazing that one." If I'm honest, deep down, I'd be gutted. I'd be really, really sad about that. But what's David's response? David reported to Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. And then we see David's response. This is David's response to hearing that he's not going to be the one to build the temple. David's response is to worship. I love this. "Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, 'Who am I, Lord God, and what is my family that you've brought me this far?'" It's a yes. But the point is, it's about what's he doing, not what are we asking him to do on our behalf. Some people are called to fight for something. Some people are called to build something. David's destiny wasn't to build the temple. That was for someone else. So we see this response of David. That's principle one. When God says no to you, do you have that heart that will respond in worship just the same as if he said yes to you? That's homework number one, okay? Principle number two, let's go forward to 1 Chronicles 22. A couple of pages forward. So principle one, when God says no, do you respond in worship? Is your heart response when he says no to something you really want? Is your heart response the same as if he says yes to something you really want? If he responds with a wait, do you hear it the same way that you would hear a yes? Challenge. Okay. 1 Chronicles 22. Then David said, "The house of the Lord God is to be here, and also the altar of burnt offering for Israel." Verse 2. So David gave orders to assemble the foreigners residing in Israel, and from among them he appointed stonecutters to prepare dressed stone for building the house of God. He provided a large amount of iron to make nails for the doors of the gateways and for the fittings, and more bronze than could be weighed. That's a lot of bronze. More bronze than could be weighed. He also provided more cedar logs than could be counted, for the Sidonians and the Tyrians had brought large numbers of them to David. David said, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations." Therefore, get this. Just when David was doing really, really well with the character kind of ratings, he just takes it up a gear. "Therefore, I will make preparations for it." So David made extensive preparations before his death. Not only responding to the no of God with worship, but then he takes that and he says, "God, if it's not to be me and it's to be Solomon, I'm going to spend my life making sure he has everything he needs." Man. Like hearing David's response of worship was enough of a challenge. But when I read that about he not only responded in worship to God's no in his life, but he then made it his life's mission to say, "If it's not going to be me, I'm going to make sure who you have decided will do it will have everything they need." Isn't that the heart of the Father? I love that. Do you, when God says no to you, do you sulk or do you sow? I know me, I sulk. When I get a no, I sulk. I'm a grumpy no person. When someone says no to me, I'm trying to condition myself. But I love that heart that says, "God says no, I'm not going to sulk, I'm going to sow. I'm not going to sulk about it, I'm going to sow into it." Do you grump or do you give? I know for me, I have a tendency perhaps to be a bit more on the sulky, grumpy side than on the sowy, givey side. And I'm trying to grow that in me because I'm trying to condition myself to be mature that when I hear the no of God, my heart response is the same as when I hear the yes. And since David was forbidden from building the temple himself, he helped to gather materials and prepare the plans for the temple's construction. I love that. Sometimes God gives a dream to a father, but he intends for the dream to be fulfilled by the son. That's a challenge. Sometimes God gives the dream to the father, but he intends for that dream to be fulfilled through the son. Let that be a challenge to our hearts, for you with your physical children, for you with your spiritual children. I mean, Proverbs goes as far as to say, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. But sometimes God's going to give you that dream, but actually the dream is going to be fulfilled through someone else. And that's the heart of humility, thinking of someone else before you think of yourself. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Yeah. Selfless, that's where we get that word. Let's go forward to 1 Chronicles 29. So principle one, the no of God in David's life is met, is responded to with heartfelt worship. Principle one, are we worshiping God the same when he says no as when he says yes? Principle two, when God says no to you but he says yes to the person next to you, is your heart response that you want to sow into them fulfilling the dream that was in your heart in the first place? I mean, honestly, like, if I had this big dream in my heart and the prophet, you know, Isabel comes to church and she says, "God, I thank you for Tom and I thank you for the dream you've put in his heart. And I thank you, Lord, that you have decided in your wisdom to let Matt fulfill it." And there's me like, "I praise you, God. You are worthy. You are worthy, God. Who am I that you should give me this amazing dream and get me all pumped up about it and give it to Matt? Bless Matt in the name of Jesus." And I do my like fake, my best fake smile. Or is it genuine heartfelt? "God, you are amazing. You are so wise. In your sovereignty, you know that the best thing for me in this moment is to hear a no to that dream. And God, my response to that is to worship you. And hey, God, what can I do to set Matt up for success?" Clearly the rest of you would just be doing that, just completely, you know. Bless you. 1 Chronicles 29. Principle 1, we respond to the name with worship. Principle 2, we sow into it. We have the heart to back God's decision even when it doesn't favour us. And principle 3, we learn to live in a state of peace with that no. David carried that no to his deathbed. And he wasn't bitter about it. It didn't twist him up. It didn't eat away at him. He managed to wrestle with that no. And he managed to keep that no in his heart in a place of peace, to the point that he could be on his deathbed. Chapter 29, verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. Who do you think would have been included in that whole assembly? Solomon's there. The whole assembly. And the very person that God gave the nod for his dream is stood there, and he's still sweet in his heart. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. And then Solomon's acknowledged as king, and David dies a happy man. I want to have that heart. I don't currently have that heart. Bless you, Matt, I'm sure. God would just discipline me to get to that point. He responded to the no, and he responded with worship. He trusted God. He knew God's nature to know that a no from God was so much better than any yes from the man of God, any yes from the prophet to the nation of Israel, any yes from the great apostle or the teacher or the pastor or the evangelist. And we're so conditioned to even look for the yes from man. But I want to have that heart that says I'm more eager to hear a no from God than I am to hear a yes from man. And I know I'm not there yet. And I want to be there. I'm getting there. But I know I'm not there yet. He heard the no from God to his dream, and he responded in worship. He then positioned and conditioned himself to say, if it's not me and it's this other guy, I'm gonna prepare as if it was still me. How good are we at investing into the person that has got the dream that was in our hearts as if it was still us? Do you think you would honestly go after something with the same vigor and the same excitement and the same passion and tenacity if the dream that was in your heart, God comes to you and says, actually, someone else is going to do that? Would you still chase after it as hard and prepare that person and invest into that person? That's the heart of the Father right there. Responds in worship, sows into the person who does get the nod, and carries that in his heart right through to the day he dies, and he dies in peace because he knows that a no from God is the best thing for him. Being a good father doesn't mean we say yes to everything. Being a good father means we trust that what he says for us is the best for us, whether it's a yes, whether it's a wait, or whether it's a no. So we're going to respond, and we're not going to have any ministry team. We're not going to... I'm kind of favouring this more and more. I preached last week about, 2 weeks ago, how to be broken in a culture of breakthrough. And we kind of just... I felt really bad because we kind of just told everyone who was broken to come to the front, and then we just left them to it. But... I'm convinced that part of attaining to the maturity, you know, the role of the fivefold in Ephesians, it says the job of the fivefold is to prepare the people for works of service and to mature people unto unity of the Spirit and unto the headship of Christ. And we need to be careful that we don't idolize the opinions of man and we look for the yes of man. We all know what we want the man of God to say to us. We all know what we want the woman of God to say to us. We know the yes we're looking for from man, don't we? We know that we want to hear the yes from our boss for that promotion. But what if it's a no from God for that promotion? Do you trust the no from God more than you trust the yes from man? Are you looking for the no from God? Do you have that heart that when you pray to God, you're as excited about him saying no as you are about him saying yes? So I'm going to be down here responding in a minute. Over here, we're going to have the yes camp. In the middle, we're going to have the wait camp. And over here, on the right, we're going to have the no camp. And my challenge to you, my encouragement to you, is to ask Holy Spirit for something that you're holding in your heart. Something that you're wanting to happen. Something that you're believing for. Something that you would like a breakthrough in, or something like that. And that the point of this response is to get to the place where in our hearts, we trust God enough that whether he says yes, whether he says no, or whether he says wait, We trust him that that's the best thing for us. And that's hard. That's hard when we're... Do you know, it's sometimes difficult when we're holding on to something so tightly. And sometimes if you hold on to a promise too tight, you can squeeze the life out of it. And that's the challenge, is to hold it tightly enough that you contend for it, but loosely enough that you've got open hands with it. Because sometimes God's given me a promise in my life, but then it's ended up not being me that gets to see the fruition of that. It's someone else. And I want to have that response. And so my challenge to you, my invitation for you to respond, is to come and spend a few moments on each topic. The yes, the no, and the wait. And allow God to examine your heart. We're not going to have the ministry team pray for you, because this is between you and God. But it's about positioning and getting your heart in the right place. That if he says yes, God, you're worthy, I trust you. If he says no, God, you're worthy and I trust you. If he says wait, God, you're worthy and I trust you. And actually, we get to that point where our focus isn't on his response. Our focus is on trusting his nature. And that's a really good place to be. Amen? So why don't you stand? I'm going to pray for you. And you take as long as you need. And we're just going to pack up around you. And at some point later this evening, we're going to turn off the lights. And then you should probably go home. I want to have that heart. And I know I'm not there yet. So God, for me and for my friends, for my brothers and sisters here, God, I pray that you would do a work on our hearts. Now, Holy Spirit, would you come? We invite your presence. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and minister to us. Holy Spirit, you're the most accomplished minister. And we willingly invite you in. We willingly invite you into our hearts now. And we say, come and work on us. Come and change our hearts. Come and convict us where we need to be convicted. Come and challenge us where we need to be challenged. And come and comfort us where we need to be comforted. But God, we want to leave this place this evening truly being able to say that whether you say yes, whether you say no, or whether you say wait, we trust you. You know, scripture says those who know his name trust him. And his name is his character. His name is his nature. And so if you're struggling with any one of those options, the yes, the no, or the wait, if you're finding there's a wrestle in your heart, Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you reveal the nature of God to me? Would you reveal the nature of God as the good Father, not a good Father, the good Father? The good Father who knows us well enough to know that if we're asking for sweets, sometimes the no is the best thing for us. And sometimes the no is the best thing for all the people around us as well. God, we trust you. And we want to have that heart of David that says, you are worthy to be worshipped, irrespective of whether you get on board with our agenda or not. Holy Spirit, help us to put to death our own agendas this evening. Help us to say, God, we truly want what you want, not what we want. Help us to be like Jesus that says, yet not my will, but your will be done. So I'm just going to invite you to come and respond. You can do it in any order you like. Yes on the left, wait in the middle, no on the right. And just take a moment in each position and hold that thing before God that is your heart's desire. And really, what he answers is not the point of this evening. Don't be looking for answers. Be asking Holy Spirit to get your heart to that place where, irrespective of what the answer is, what will your response be? So just come and receive from God. Come and do your business with God. If you are walking a journey and you need a breakthrough, we want to walk that journey with you. We want to love you through that and help you through that. But first and foremost, we want you to get your heart to that place where you can truly say, God, whatever your answer is, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to love you. Amen.